Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of Grits in the Gospel. My name is Reverend Katie Griffiths, and I am so excited to be here with you this week. We are now in the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. We've got a long way to go until we get to the end of the ordinary time, but I am excited to be here with you today. In the end of June, it's hard to believe that the summer is a third of the way gone. Let us come together today in a posture of worship. The Lord be with you and also with you. Today's psalm is the 30th psalm. Hear now the words of the psalmist as they are encouraging and healing. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said, in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. But your favor, O Lord, you have established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me, O Lord. Be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Actually, let us first say together the Apostles' Creed. Let us remind ourselves what we believe. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now let us pray together. Dear Lord, we come to you today, humbled, asking for healing in every aspect of life, whether it's our physical bodies or our spirits and souls. Fill in those cracks. Heal us. Restore our faith. And let those healing acts spread like ripples throughout the water, and affect and bring joy and life to others. Hear us now as we pray the words your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear now the words of the gospel according to Mark. We're in the fifth chapter. verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came and said, when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well again and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. She was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed. And she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "See the crowd pressing in on you? How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear. Only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha, come," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Today, dear Lord, bring this message to those that need to hear it. Most of all, bring it to me. Let my faith be the thing that causes ripples in the water, that shows your might and majesty to others so that their faith may increase as well. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. The Olympics are coming up. It's one of my favorite sporting events. I love any sports competition. Some might say I'm too competitive, but is there really such a thing? But what I really love about sports are the stories behind the athletes in the games. They make for some inspirational moments. The Olympics are the perfect combination of patriotism and storytelling. All it takes to make me weepy is the first few notes of the John Williams Olympic theme music. Famously, or maybe infamously, I believe that if I watch an Olympic sport, then I can do an Olympic sport. That's how being an athlete works, right? Not only do I love the personal histories of the athletes, like the kid who's a track star and works full-time at the Walmart deli, or the two pairs of sibling swimmers that will be going to Paris together. Or the wife who is now the shot put coach for her husband who qualified for the Olympic team. But I love the tearjerker moments that happen at the games as well. I love to see great sportsmanship. Competitors embracing at the end of a race or helping each other across the finish line. They have turned one of those moments into a commercial. Yeah, I cry at those too. The long distance runner who falls and then instead of running past him, one of his competitors stops and helps him get up and then helps him cross the finish line. The commercial has a little girl watching this moment at home. Then they cut to her on the soccer field, helping one of the players on the other team get up after a fall. The idea is that if we witness these beautiful acts, then we will go out and go on to do the same ourselves. I have no idea who made the commercial or what they're trying to sell me. What I see in the people portrayed, real and fictional, is hope in humanity. Faith that there are indeed good things and good people in this world. Our scripture today is full of moments of faith and healing. It was one of my professors from this last semester's favorite passages. So when I saw it this week, I was almost a little sad. We studied these verses until I'd almost lost faith. But as only God can do with that magnifying glass that he trusts me with, I saw these verses with a fresh heart. All of the people in these verses had faith in Jesus because they heard about him from other people or witnessed him helping others. You can almost see their suffering in the words of Mark. He uses words like begging, point of death, suffering, hemorrhages, endured, dead, weeping and wailing loudly. The desperation that these people were enduring and the death and illness that they suffered were horrible. They were desperate to find some relief. They were searching for something to help them through their suffering. All it took was hearing others talk about the great things that Jesus had done and then witnessing it for themselves. For their faith to become the healing that they themselves were looking for. Just like the commercial, they saw Jesus do something for someone else, and they had faith that it could happen for them. Jesus heals all kinds of people in these verses as well. Right before these verses, in the first half of Mark 5, Jesus healed a man that was possessed with demons. He cast out demons onto a herd of pigs. He did this in front of a large crowd. When we start in verse 21, we see him leaving that place because he was so overtaken with people trying to be healed as well. But word had spread and there was already a crowd waiting on him for him at the next place. One act of healing caused so many others to have faith and believe for themselves that the crowds almost crushed him. And those acts then multiplied and spread the word of God's healing power through his son. Once these people started to believe and see the healing that can come from their faith, we start to see words like made well, healed of her disease, faith, peace, do not fear, believe, overcome with amazement. There's hope and faith and healing. It turns despair to amazement and joy. But not only does it affect the ones that are healed, it has a ripple effect for all those around them who witness it. What a beautiful thing to be a part of. One small act of faith spread like wildfire and affected entire communities in their faith. It affected a woman that was in pain for 12 years. It says that she suffered under many physicians. Think about what medicine was like in ancient times and the things that they tried to heal her. We can't see this woman's suffering through our own medical lens today. We cannot even begin to imagine what life was like for her. I myself have had to deal with these issues, and they're not easy even today. I'm so thankful that I had doctors that were kind and caring and had knowledge that the physicians of Jesus' time had never even dreamed of. There is no comparison of not only the physical issues she suffered, but also the social ridicule she faced. Because of her ailments, she was outcast. She was seen as unclean and untouchable. Can you even imagine having to live life without human contact? It's easy to see her suffering as just about the words on the page, but it's so much more. But Jesus, ironically by touch, healed her without even knowing it. He healed her physically and he healed her soul. He touched so many lives in so many ways that word could not help but spread. There's so many lessons in these verses, lessons of faith and healing and health. But I think as I read them this week, I couldn't help but see, as I read them this week, that he not only heals us, but he uses us to heal others. Imagine what it was like for the family of the little girl who was healed. Imagine what it was like for the family of the woman who had been living outside society in the red tent to be able to return home fully healed. The neighbors and friends that were a part of that ripple effect of healing and faith, they got to witness a woman healed and a family healed upon her return to them. It had to give them hope and faith. Imagine what it was like for the leader, Jairus, to go back to work after his daughter was healed by Jesus, the man they were told to hate. How much ridicule did he face to tell the truth? How many seeds of faith did he plant in the church and community leaders to overtake the seeds of doubt that they were told to have about Jesus? What stories of healing, whether physical or spiritual or emotional, do you have to tell? What can people around you witness in your life that will show the healing power of Jesus? How far-reaching are those stories going to go? There's so many great things about these verses, but I like to think the last verse is the one that makes me smile the most, but I think it is. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. He told them not to share anything that he had done. There could have been many reasons for that. Maybe he needed Sabbath from the crowds. Maybe he needed to prepare himself for what was coming next. Maybe, just maybe, he wanted to fellowship with this little girl that he saved. Give her something to eat. Give her nourishment. It is always the way we know we are feeling better when we have been sick. We want to eat. Her soul and spirit was nourished by Jesus. Now it was time to nourish her body. Faith and fellowship. Laced through all the New Testament scriptures, it is the heart of what Jesus was showing us. Have faith in his healing power. And fellowship with those around you. I have 26 days left to prepare my spirit for all the weepy moments of the Olympics. But really, it's already started. The Olympic trials have already given us so many great stories, endearing us to these athletes and helping us understand who we are cheering for. It's a lot like these verses. When we see these beautiful stories, no matter how ancient they are, we cheer on these people and these families that are finding healing in their faith. Their stories are so powerful that we're still sharing them today. The ripples are still going. The long-reaching hope and love of these ancient characters give us hope and joy for healing today. Because they were healed, we can be assured that our souls can be healed too. It is my hope that the people will see these acts of healing and faith in my own life and be inspired to their very own faith. That they will be a part of the ripples of healing that started with the good things that God does for me. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul will praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Amen. As we go throughout this week, let us find those moments of joy that can be ripples. Ripples of faith, so that others may come into the faith and the joy that we have in God. Because in life and death and life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.